Into sports.
20 yards out, Hurst to shoot. Don't shoot! Oh, what a goal from Fabinho! Wow!
Then get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him, yeah. No.
Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? He'd get a slap.
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports, ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your app store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network, with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural, protein-powered chicken bites.
Wednesday Night Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us, everyone in.
Now, welcome back. So as Richie mentioned in the news round, news confirmed by Six Nations organisers today, the general map for the next couple of months, the Men's Six Nations 2021 remains on schedule. It gets underway at the weekend of February 6th. Women's Six Nations postponed until early spring, summer. We're talking April, May territory. Only England are fully professional, France semi-professional, so that complicated bubbles and testing, so it was not possible, they felt. And World Cup qualification is still very much up in the air, so it's messy indeed on the women's front, and then the men's under 20 postponed as well. And as we know, Heineken Champions Cup rounds 3 and 4 have been postponed. So that is the theme of the news over the last while. Ronan O'Gara is with us evening.
Hey Joe, how are you?
Yeah, very well. I hope you're well too. I know La Rochelle for much of 2020 had done very, very well from speaking to you when it came to COVID cases, and then suddenly last few days, bit of a tornado sweeps through.
Yeah, it's we're all in isolation, I suppose, and back in our houses. The training centre shut down, and we had initially 3 cases, which we thought was hopefully going to be the end of it, and then retested again, and now we had another 5 pros on top of that with 12 academy players with a member of staff. So the French regulations kicked in and just entered the not allowed under any circumstances to go to the training centre, not even to pick up your runners or anything like that for the players' point of view. So no hanging around with each other, completely trying to, I suppose, break all the connections among players, and trying to get us back safely and healthy as quickly as possible. So testing again in the morning, and we go from there.
And so far, so good for you? You're okay so far?
Yeah, I am. Exactly. So I think I've been 26 times tested, I think. So the nostrils suffer a little bit, but
sure.
It's you prefer it like that, because it's very important, because there's some nasty stories circulating as well in terms of people young and fit who have been put on ventilators. So I think this myth of that if you're fit and healthy in your sport you'll be fine, I don't think it necessarily I don't think that's the correct way of looking at it.
Yeah, it's amazing, I suspect, for households all over the country how quickly this virus goes from being, well, you've got a really good chance of being okay, to very, very scary when the reality of it lands in your vicinity.
Yeah, exactly. I've been talking to a few people back home, and it's touch and go for one or two people who are in their 20s, and very, very serious and very, very sad. So it's I think for people, if they haven't realised at this stage, it's of utmost importance that you do the best you can to avoid getting it.
And Ronan, in so much as it's possible for anyone to know how it got in there, is the general sense that it got in there via one player and that player gave it to everyone, or could it be multiple sources bringing it into the place, or is it possible to even know?
I think there is an awful lot of research going on, and we have a young doctor who's very, I suppose, forward-thinking, and he's looking at a load of different studies, but we've nothing conclusive, because, I think if in the Bundesliga you can see, I think a few studies were produced, and some teams there really struggled to regain form when their group got it. So naturally, you're trying to do your best to try and get the people who have tested COVID positive, get them back feeling good about themselves initially, but then obviously from a sporting point of view, we don't know how they're going to react to it. So No, at this stage, I was asking them, how is it these players? But it seems to be very, very random in terms of how it attacks. So that's the danger of this virus.
Right. When will La Rochelle get back in the pitch then? How does it work?
It works with, I suppose, tomorrow. So go for testing. It's good. We kind of have a drive-through testing set up organised in the empty stadium where you literally, park your car, walk in, don't connect or greet or no physical kind of, which rugby players like doing in terms of, I suppose, greeting people in the morning, but that's not allowed. And you go in, you go tested, you straight back in your car, you go home and you spend your day at home and you meet as the least amount of people possible. And then by hopefully 10 p.m. that night, you we'll have our results. And that obviously implies either plan A, plan B, or plan C, depending on where we are with the results.
So if everyone was negative, would you be back on the pitch weekend coming?
You could be back in on Friday, yes, obviously, but that's if you're negative. There's obviously different protocol for which, depending on what stage you tested positive. So these guys will have a kind of essentially a return to play COVID plan, and that differs depending on when you were struck down with the positive test. So it's very, very strict and very well regulated in the top 14, and very few grey areas, and a lot of paperwork and a lot of work from the medical department.
And of the top 14, generally, are other teams having similar outbreaks at the moment?
Yeah, they are. Well, it seems to be that. You obviously saw the Stade Français at the start of the season. Bayonne got wiped out. Stade Français got wiped out. We're not at that stage, but it has hit an awful lot of teams. Yeah, at different stages, but none consecutively, or sorry, at the same time. So in that regard, it's great that the competition is going down, and that probably leads into the point about, I suppose, why the French teams were very anxious about playing Europe, because obviously they could see there was a different strain in the UK, and that Ireland, the cases were were record high for the world. So they're very proud of their domestic competition. So their fear was if we go to play in England or in Ireland and we bring a strain of that virus back, it will do huge damage to the potential of playing in a top 14 for which isn't under threat in any way for the rest of the season. So I think that was a very smart move by the top 14 clubs or by the LNR.
Yeah, I do get the sense a lot of the French clubs would be probably happy enough to let this season's Champions Cup just drift out to sea.
No, I dispute that heavily with you. In the fact that, with the way, as I keep harping on in this show, if there's relegation, Joe, it's a different mindset. And if you're involved in that scrap, you got to get concentrated on that. But if you have a chance of progressing in the European Cup, the French teams love it. Absolutely. And especially in the format this year, it was four games to get to a quarterfinal. So, the squad depth and the squad quality, there's a lot of teams in France who would consider themselves challengers. So there's absolutely no way they would like to forfeit their opportunity when, I suppose, the history is obviously loaded towards the Boucliers. But to achieve that, it's over 30 games. While you look at the opportunity with silverware with about 8 games in Europe, all the competitors playing in the top 14 would love a crack off that.
Okay, that's good to hear. Sometimes you wonder if it's a lukewarm relationship at times.
No, I think for certain clubs that can't have the joy to double load their challenge, but even though Clermont were beaten by Munster at home, Clermont, I would say, will have a right crack off that game in Thomond Park, because they have huge history in the competition and they like the competition. Racing are obviously contenders and Toulouse are contenders. We're in the mix, and you can be sure that we'd be looking to put out our best possible group of players to represent their club to give us a good shot at progressing.
Good. Well, look, hopefully things improve. I was just checking, I was watching France 24 today, so it was kind of averaging over there 10,000 cases pre-Christmas a day, and now you're up to 18,000 cases. And I saw there's a cluster of the new variant in Marseille, and as we have found out, once it gets in, it's very hard to get rid of it, but hopefully things improve to matters.
Yeah, but it was at 60,000 on a daily basis for a number of weeks, Joe.
Yeah, I know. Well, I hope things stay that way. It's just our experience of this third wave, maybe you seem to be a bit ahead of the curve in trying to stem it. But look, who knows, once it gets in and gets out of control, at the moment, it's pretty scary. Before the clock comes against us too much, this is probably an easier question, given the esteem in which you hold Paul O'Connell, but your thoughts on his appointment when you saw the news that he's come in as forwards coach and he's going to sort out the line out and be part of the Irish setup?
Yeah, brilliant news. He's obviously a very close friend, and I suppose I know I don't have a lot of time because we could chat for hours about this. We may get a chance on the big screen to do it, Joe, over the coming months. But it is a great addition. And I think, I think to give the listeners a flavour of why it is would be so inaccurate to associate, the magical speeches that Paul made about that being his ace card. There are so many more layers underneath that... he's a joy to talk rugby with. He has a massive understanding of the game. He has an awful lot of empathy. He isn't a hard man. He played as a hard man. He's very soft. He's very, emotionally attached to anything he gets involved in. He's obviously, I couldn't speak more highly of a guy I played my whole career with. Hugely challenging. Absolutely loves rolling up the sleeves and getting involved in a project and getting the best outcome for his team.
Yeah, it's a really interesting point you make about the perception of O'Connell. It never has a, did you put the fear of God into them speech ever kind of pigeonholed a man so wrongly.
It's, but I think, because I listened to it the other day as well, because it was all over social media, but it's so good, even maybe because I was in the training room, but it's so good and it's so poorly, but that's a snapshot of him for 60 seconds, but like there's another 15 years of that multiplied by, 15 games at least. And then there's all the preparation that goes into it. He is so, meticulous in his preparation, but also his sense of humor is incredibly good as well. And I think it's a great opportunity for players in Ireland to be inspired by a former great. And you'll say, well, what coaching? I think he wouldn't have accepted, and I know from talking to him, the opportunity if he didn't think he could do it better than anyone else in the world, never mind in Ireland. So I think he has had detailed chats with Andy Farrell about what his role is, and I would be hugely confident in saying that he will absolutely perform his role with great detail, great enthusiasm, and better than anybody I would think that would be ever presented that opportunity.
Mm. You used the word enthusiasm there. I think there'll be a real shot of enthusiasm for players excited to work with O'Connell, either have played with him or grew up watching him. So straight away, would you think, I don't know how long he'll have with the players as part of training camp in advance of the Six Nations. Say if we talked about two things which have cropped up in the last year, 18 months, the line-out and Ireland at the breakdown, you would imagine pretty quickly he can have an effect there, or will that take time?
Yeah, I would think pretty quickly as well. And to be honest, there are two areas I wouldn't have a great understanding of or a great appreciation of either. And the fact that, I wouldn't have the detail around the ruck that Paul would be interested in. I wouldn't obviously have the line-out detail that Paul would have or even come close to it. But I understand there are a few basics required to even enter the room to converse with him. But I think what's different, I suppose, nowadays, in the fact that they won't get that much time on the pitch, but how much learning is actually done on the pitch? The video is very, very powerful nowadays. And I think in terms of connecting with the players and bringing them through potential improvements, you can actually, you know what I mean, a player can, your role from training, and that would equate so many times to be, you mean, the game analysis. So Paul will have cut many a clip, I would say, from training or from games of previous Irish games and saying, this is what the perfect picture looks like, or this is not what we value or what we rate ourselves around the ruck. So I think in that regard, there will be some fundamentals that he'll introduce. And from speaking to Mike Prendergast, who coached him in Stade Francais, he was saying he's a brilliant coach, and he makes his messages very simple and very clear, and that's a very, very important point with coaching.
Yes, I would think so. Tommy has texted in to say, can you ask Rog if he put the fear of God into any Englishman that day?
Did Paul do or did I do?
Did you?
I don't.
We know Paul did. We're not so sure about you.
But we weren't even tired, was it? Was that? Oh, I'm going to go listen to it again afterwards.
Every morning. It should be your alarm clock.
You'd jump out of bed, wouldn't you?
We have zero time. And I know this is a week where you did get a chance to watch Ola Leinster, Ulster and Ola Connacht Munster. Do you want to give me one O'Gara takeaway that jumped out at you from either game? You've got one point to make from the weekend, which I know isn't a fair ask.
I suppose the Connacht Munster game, it was just, just credit to Connacht, I suppose, for staying in the fight. I thought Munster were by far the better team, but they never killed them. And it just shows, if you don't kill off a team with a lot of fighting qualities, Connacht stay there. And then to give themselves the opportunity where they set themselves up for the killer blow and not to pull the trigger, they'd be desperately disappointed with that. But it was great to see the dog back in Munster. I thought their forward display was incredibly good and impressive. And they'll go into the Munster-Leinster game with an awful lot of optimism.
Yes. Well, we might chat in a bit more detail around that game. But in the meantime, I hope the test results are all good when you get results in the next few days, Ronan. And we'll talk to you again. Cheers.
Pleasure, Joe. Thank you. See you.
Wednesday Night Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us. Everyone in.